what we need is every morning fresh inspiration. I mean, when I come up, before I go to a meeting now, I say, Lord, just give me inspiration. Because familiarity can breed a type of contentness. Or we'll sing, kids go out, there's someone here from Ireland, hope he doesn't speak too long, I wonder what he's like, I've never met him before, thinking of the dinner, did I put the... And all these sort of things, it's life. And really, what I found I need is inspiration. And I looked it up on my phone this morning, and it says, the arousal of the mind to special, unusual activity and creativity. That's what we need today. I mean, I'd probably say a few things. Some of them hopefully will interest you. Hopefully some of the scriptures will, oh yeah, I never saw that before. But really, we need this word of inspiration. And then I rooted around, and I knew it was somewhere in the book of Job, and I found it, hallelujah. I must have had inspiration. It says, there is a spirit in man, in woman. There is a spirit in man. And then it says this, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him illumination, gives him understanding. So hang on a minute. Like, if I was sitting down there and someone's up here, I'd say, Lord, just inspire me. I need to hear something. I need to catch something. Whether he's this or that, or whether he says this, we need this. You know, all scripture is given by inspiration. Hallelujah. I believe that. It's proven itself over and over. This is the written word of God, and it becomes, as we read it, as we absorb it, it becomes the living word within us. But I was just thinking, all scripture is given by inspiration. And may scripture be given to you and to me this morning by inspiration. And that inspiration comes from the greatest creative force the universe has ever known, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. So, you know, even today, we can be inspired. Even through the next half hour, we can be inspired. In spite of me, or in spite of our minds, or in spite of what you're going through, or in spite of your preoccupation, it can be like a shaft of light that comes. We can be engaged in the absorption of a couple of great prayers. That's what I've been engaged with over the last 3 or 4 months. Not all the time, but a lot of the time I pick up this book. A lot of the time, sometimes I get on my knees and I pray these prayers because I've been going through stuff and I've needed to get something more than I've already experienced. Of course, I've already experienced Jesus, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, etc., etc. But for today, I needed something more living. Oh, by the way, there is another verse in Job that says this. It was one of Job's friends, and he gives a speech about what is wrong in the world, even though it was thousands of years ago, but it's still relevant for today. And in the middle of the speech, he says one little phrase which sums up a lot of what is going wrong in our society today. And he just simply says that those who forget God have no hope. And in the societal problems of today, you realize that more and more I don't know what it's like over here, but in Ireland, we're doing everything to forget God. We're going to actually change our constitution. A referendum, not the whole thing, but 2 hours ago. And it's all actually under to forget God. They brought in legislation to education into schools, which for 80 years, maybe more, have been under the auspices of the Catholic Church in Ireland, who believe in God, in spite of all the other problems they've had, to eradicate. They're doing all this. And you're real. One of my sons, he's high up in psychology and counseling and everything else. He said, Dad, you've no idea, he said, under the surface, how society is losing hope. So one of the reasons we get together to remember, did you remember anything about him while we were worshiping? Thank you. It was your wife, I don't think she's here. I've known all those songs. I've sung all the songs. And whether I was just at the end and the sun was catching my... But I got illumination on a few things, for me personally. So I always feel like I already feel inspired because of what we've been singing. And I didn't want to forget him. I've come today. So anyway, that was the little introduction. The two prayers are found in the book of Ephesians. I was tempted to do a line study because I've been thinking about it a lot. But I just want to point a couple of things to them that I felt were relevant today for us here. I had something else written down, just bear with me. I think it's here somewhere. And I wanted to share it with you. Oh yes, hallelujah, it's here. And the first prayer, and you may like to read this later on yourself, but it's in chapter 1. And basically, I mean, many prayers, they must have been written and prayed in the early church, many of them. But the Holy Spirit made sure that we had a few of them recorded. And there are two of them in Ephesians. They're incredible prayers. And if we wait on the Lord, they will inspire us through life, through situations, through contradictions, through when you're ambushed by disappointments, when things haven't turned out the way you thought they'd turn out. This is where we go to. And in fact, in hindsight, then we realize, that's why I went through that. And maybe I don't know the full reason, but I'm still coming to you. And the first prayer that he prays is in Ephesians chapter 1. And he says, I don't cease to make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give. And each of these prayers says that you may be given something. So inspiration usually gives us something. It gives us an idea. It gives us a way out. It gives us a solution. It gives us the next step. So he's saying, I want to give you. And basically he said that the eyes that give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, will be illuminated. We need that constantly. So many things are blurring our sight, even surviving sometimes, even going through the maze of this world. We need this illumination. That you may know. And each of the prayers, the other prayer in chapter 3 said that you may comprehend, that you may know something. So we're inspired, we're illuminated that we may know. He says three things: the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory, and the greatness of his power. Who gets excited when you read these things? That you may know, that you may be illuminated to know the greatness of his power, the hope of his calling. So those are the three what's, that you may know three what's. What is, what is, what is. And you may have another what. What am I to do? What is the way out? Why is it I can't understand? Well, we can pray. You can pray for enlightenment, for light. So that's one thing. I'm going to say something about that. And then the other prayer is basically the same principle, except he's asking for not just illumination, he's asking to be strengthened. I want to read this because this prayer has become my friend from about end of September last year. Well, it's still my friend, but I pray this in the morning times. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I heard a preacher preach fairly recently, and he said, whether it's a tablet or paper, put your finger on the verse. You know, it sounds like, I can remember when I used to go to Sunday school before I rebelled against it. I used to put the Sunday school teacher, put your finger on the verse. And I did this. So he said this, from whom the whole family in heaven is named, that he would grant you, that he would give you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Those things in here. My son also, he said to me, you know, Dad, everything that we read, and he lectures as well in all this psychology, he says, it's all to do with reformation coming from without, reforming this and this. And he said, fortunately, he's able to, from time to time, talk about transformation from within. Religion is reformation from without. And we can all be religious, but and there's no harm to reform from time to time. I'm going to tidy my room. I'm going to be kind to my wife. I'm going to, and we reform ourselves or whatever it is. But actually, it's this transformation from within. He said that you'll be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So But those are just the two things that I just will share something that I hope will inspire us or whatever. Illumination and to be strengthened. Now, if you don't need either of those, get out your phone, have a look at whatever you look at, or go for a walk. But I guess from time to time, whether you're young or old, whether you're at school, college, in the middle of work, or kind of now enjoying the fruits of retirement, we all do. And I know, and I don't want to sound arrogant, as I just waited on the Lord, it's a special treat for Ruth and I to come to Chester. We don't take it glibly. We've prayed, we've sought the Lord, and these are two words that kept coming to me. And it's kind of born out of my own experience of the past half year. To be illuminated, enlightened, and to be strengthened. And I trust that I'm speaking to people we've already had that initial illumination from, as he says in Romans, from the place where our foolish hearts had become darkened, and we're on to now where we're ongoing receptors of light. But he says in Ephesians 5, he said, "For you were once in darkness, but we're now children of light." We've had that transforming work of grace of Christ coming into our lives and making us new. And we need light now, continuous light, as we walk on. And I find increasingly God's word is a lamp to my feet. That's the immediate step. He's a lamp to my feet and a lamp to my path. That's the way ahead. Now, to my surprise, one of the features that I use most on my iPhone, I think it's a 13 or 14, that I thought that I wouldn't use so much, is the little LED flashlight. You know, it didn't feature on the original iPhone that came out in 2007. That's 14 years ago, I think. And later, there were apps which you could download, and they would brighten the existing screen so that it would improve what was already there. And it could be used as some sort of illumination. And I think it speaks of man trying to improve ourselves, trying to improve humanity out of our own means, out of our own advancements, without any real internal change. It was okay. I don't know if any of you remember. And you could have this app, and it would kind of brighten the screen a bit. But it wasn't, if you lost your keys in the dark, as I sometimes do, or you're off somewhere in, like where they've no electricity in Africa or something, and you just need, and you had this, I mean, it wasn't great, but there was a bit of light. But we had to wait till 2013 and the iPhone 7, I think it was, before this little light became built in. It was within the phone. You didn't have to add on any apps, and it became a feature in its own right. It's like when we receive the Holy Spirit and he gives us that new light within, and we're no longer making do with add-ons or having to walk in someone else's revelation. Someone else maybe who has illumination within, and it could be up front, or you could be talking to them. Oh, thank you for throwing some light on the matter. It's coming from within. And how welcome this LED continues to be. It made me realize, as well as all the other amazing gadgets on the phone, I mean, you've got to realize where when I was born and what I grew up with, if someone told me that you could have a, you know, this piece of machinery that I could speak to my daughter for free in Los Angeles on a thing called WhatsApp, or we could do all sorts of, it's an amazing thing. Unfortunately, as with every other invention in life, be it splitting the atom or the iPhone, it can also be used for incredible evil as well. But as well as all these other gadgets, it made me realize how useful the little torch is and how often we need to shed light on something. Light does not go out of fashion. And no matter how long you have been walking with Jesus and you've received his light, there's still more light that he will shed on things. Because that's the way he is. So in spite of all the technological wonders in this phone, sometimes the most important thing I need from this is light, illumination. A time came when God told Moses, Moses, build me a mobile home. And not a mobile phone, a mobile home. They called it the tabernacle. He said, I'm coming down to live with you. Amazing. So there are 10 chapters in the New Testament, the Old Testament, about the tabernacle. Why do I say this? Because there's 2 chapters about creation. So there's something in the tabernacle that must be very important. Some knowledge that is, it's a useful tool to have in your spiritual toolbox. And beneath the surface, there's always gold. And you may read those 10 chapters. Oh, Larry Hill said there's 10 chapters. I must read them. I don't understand any of it. Keep reading it. Keep researching it. Incredible gold. But anyway, God's desire was to come and to live, not just with man, but within man. And that could only be fulfilled, as you know, by the plan of redemption, enabling individuals to become a dwelling place for the Lord Most High. What a miracle. You know, on the cross, Jesus secured for us access to an otherwise prohibited place. Does that excite you? Does that sort of inspire you? What is this prohibited place? It's his presence. For centuries, man, one man a year was chosen to go in. It was such a risky thing. They tied a bit of rope to his ankle in case he didn't make it, and they had to pull his body out. It was the presence, the Shekinah glory when it came. That's why increasingly in my own heart, I'm being convinced that when two or three of us meet together, he actually is here. And when we meet together this morning and when we worship, he's actually here. Maybe even, excuse my Irish imagination, walking around. Oh, this is wonderful. Where else in Chester? There's maybe a few other places in Chester. And by his spirit, he's there also. Why am I telling you about the tabernacle? Because one of the pieces of furniture in the tabernacle was the lampstand, illumination. Sometimes called a candlestick, but it was actually an oil lamp called a menorah. Light-bearing, 7 branches, some of you know this well. It was a beautifully carved lampstand, gold and intricate on each of the branches. There was a little flower, it was an almond, great. It would open up, and there inside there was a place where oil could be put, and there was a cloth wick going up in the hollowed-out branch up to the top. That was the wick, fed off this oil. Get the picture. And they closed the almond leaf. It was an almond leaf because that was the first flower to appear in Israel in those days. And there it was. And every day, I think it was, there was a priest, a man appointed to go in. And he would open up and make sure there was an infilling of enough oil. There's also a description of what type of oil it was. Pressed oil, olive oil, speaks to me of the what Jesus, what he did on the cross, and the coming of the Spirit, and he made sure there was enough. And then at the top, he'd have a few special tools. It was all described. The tools themselves were also made of gold, so they're important. And he would trim the wick. He would taper it. He would take away any, maybe if there were dead flies, anything that would stop smoke or mist from blurring the light. Speaking to me. Speaking of my own life. Lord, I need your trimmings from time to time. And they would do that. And it would keep out unproductive areas, so there'd be less smoke to cloud the flame. You know, do you ever feel a bit smoky? You're not really seeing things clearly. And he would make sure that wick was clean, operational, free from alien impediments. And what a picture for us that is. And it's an inspiring picture. It's there. It's there for us to be inspired by, that he comes. And I know sometimes preachers, they labor the point. Oh, you know, you're going through the chastenings of the Lord and he's trimming the wick and he's doing this. He goes, oh, what? And he does that. But actually, a great picture of this in action is in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation. There you have the Lord Jesus coming amongst 7. Interesting, there were more than 7 churches today, but there are 7 churches, 7 lampstands, and he's going in. The first thing he says, guys, you're great. You've done this. I love what you're doing. I appreciate it. But I have these things that I want to put right within you. And then he trims their wicks. But he doesn't leave it there. He's checking out the oil. Because we need the oil. I mean, how can I be inspired? How can I come to two or three meetings every week and read the Bible every day if you do that? How can I do it? It's impossible. How can I live this Christian life unless we have this inspiration, this illumination, this oil, this reservoir of a miraculous oil? We have been through some tough days. I'm not going to tell you all my woes. I thought the older you get, the easier it would go. But hallelujah, I'm here to testify. His oil keeps flowing. He's more interested nearly in the infilling than the, you know, the wick is a bit, I'm going to trim it a bit more. No, he's more interested in the infilling. And as I read these about what he does in these churches, because I want to come on to the strengthening in a minute, so I'm just passing over these things to you. But as he comes to the churches, he says at the end, he talks about the infilling. Now, what is the infilling? What picture can I see? How does he, here am I don't feel filled, I'm going through this, what does he do? Well, this may help you. According to these chapters, the nature of this infilling is characterized, now listen to this, an infilling by eating, by absorption, by digestion. So, to the church in Ephesus, it says, to him who overcomes, to him or her, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. Lord, I don't know, he will illuminate that to you personally. But we can eat him. And that's like, I mean, communion, it's this remembering, but it's a picture of us taking in and absorbing him. To Pergamos, he says, to those who overcome, to him I will give of the hidden manna to be filled and supplied with a life source from above. It's hidden sometimes. Well, you all heard the manna came down every day for 40 years, came down, they fed it. They collected it. They collected every day. They couldn't store it except for one day. They stored it because they didn't collect it on the Sabbath. But otherwise, they had to collect it. Otherwise, it went stale. That from came down from heaven, went stale. I don't know what they did with it every day. Maybe they learned to bake it, fry it, make hamburgers about it, mince it, put it on toast, whatever. But they had this manna every day, and it kept millions of people alive, but they collected it every day. And to the church in Laodicea, of course, the famous one, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, that's important, then I'll come into him and dine with him and he with me. Have you had an experience of eating with Jesus? It can happen in a twinkling of an eye, in a quiet moment, and when you're not even expecting it. Just, oh, Lord. And he's gone, oh, that must have been you, Lord. And he says, yeah, that was me. Come on. So there you have it. By feasting of the Lord, the infilling takes place. We cooperate with him. Okay. We sang earlier, shine through the shadows. Open my eyes to things unseen. We can ask him for these things. We can seek him for these things. We say, Lord, I really want this. Because sometimes, and frankly, sometimes being a Christian and observing, it can be a little boring. Well, I sometimes find it. Without the inspiration of this fourth person in the fire, Jesus Christ himself and his spirit illuminating things. Wow, I can head on in this. I see why this is happening. I'm not going to dwell in it. There's a way out here. I'm going to eat on him. An amazing human appetite. I mean, we got up this morning and we ate a bit on the way to the airport. We always eat wrongly at the airport, all the nice tasty food, Starbucks, that's putting on the calories. But you're still hungry again the next morning, so we had to gather up our manna. The Crown Plaza was very nice, and we went down and yogurt and all sorts of stuff. I even got poached eggs instead of scrambled eggs. And it was great. Appetite is great. We enjoy food. He says, I infill you by eating. I leave that with you. I want to move on to strength. And when I was thinking of these two things for Chester Community Church, oh yeah, that's what? Chester City Church. City Church. Okay. That was the first one, illumination. Oh, one other thing about illumination. I made my bit of living with color. I sold color to artists. I sold color. I sold paint. I sold canvas. I sold brushes. And one man show, two man show, and now my son runs it. And I think he's employed maybe 20 people. Color. People are interested in color. And he brings color. He brings light. He brings creativity, even if you're not artistic at all, and what you're interested in. He adds to that. We were, last summer, a friend of mine, I've known him for 30 years. He worked with me a lot in a ministry we did in China. His name is John, American, California, Orange County. Successful businessman. I have a daughter in California. We go out to see her, and we go out to see John. And one day, John said, Larry, he said, I've a great place in Hawaii. Will you come to Hawaii? I said, yeah. You know, Hawaii 5-0. I used to see it on the BBC. I think there's a new Hawaii 5-0, but the original one is the best. And Jack Garrett or whatever his name. I said, Hawaii? I always wanted to go to Hawaii. So last summer, we met up with John. We flew out to Hawaii. I never thought it's another 5 hours out from LA in the Pacific on these islands, and we landed down. Anyway, we had a great time. But one day he was he had a place on the ocean, and he has this. He invents things, and that's why he's made his money. And he had these lights in a square, piping, and these very strong lights. He was charging, and he said, "I said, John, what are you?" What are you doing? Now, Larry, we're going to snorkel out in the Pacific tonight. I said, oh, no, it's all right by the beach. I don't want to go out there. It's wavy. And at night. No, he said, you will, he said. So he swam out with these two lights, 30 meters, about 50 meters from shore, about 25 feet down, one there and one over there. And he'd called me out. So I said, okay, I got in, put on the goggles, went out. All dark out there. And then I come out and I see these lights in the ocean throwing up light. And I see the plankton. And we're waiting, and he's turning, he's sort of, well, I couldn't see, he was smiling. I knew he was smiling because he had his snorkel in. And he was going, sort of, wait, wait, wait. And I'm waiting around. And then, you see, the light was bringing in something. And about where that door is, I saw these huge things come in. He didn't warn me. Massive things, 8-foot wingspan, giant mantis, 3 of them. Coming in because of the light throwing up the plankton. They saw something. The light was attracting them. And we and he would go down and touch these things, and he had this GoPro camera. He would go underneath and photograph underneath them, and the marks on the belly, they could tell who they were, and oh, this sort of thing. So after a while, so I went back and I said to Ruth, you've got to come out here. She said, I don't like this. I said, come out. And actually, it ended up, we went out every night. We went every night, and the mantis would come in. Why am I telling you this? Without light, we wouldn't have seen them. Without light, I wouldn't be telling you this story about the giant mantis. Without, it was one of the highlights of the time out there, seeing these incredible creations. Light is wonderful. Light will bring you into more of his world. Strength. This is the scripture I had, be it for you as a church, be it for you individually. It's Psalm 31, a few chapters on from the psalm that Matt read. It's Psalm 31, finger on the page, verse 24. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Remember what Job said, those who forget about God, hope evaporates. Well, we hope in you, Lord. We're remembering you, we're with you, we're sensing you, we're seeking you. And he says, he shall strengthen your heart. Now, I don't know where you are at the moment. You may need some strength. Could be strength to get through an illness, strength to get through something emotional, strength to get through relationship, strength to get through maybe a financial problem. We need strength. Strength to continue on and come into your, I don't like using this word, but your destiny in terms of my place on the earth. As you get older, you realize, Lord, I want to make up for lost time. I want to bring some more with me into this kingdom. I need strength. So very briefly, this psalm reveals keys to be strengthened. I'm not going to have time to go through all of them, but that verse in 24, it's like all the preceding verses build up to this. They give it substance. One thing we must not do, and one thing that light will attract you and allure you, is into this book. I've been through my ups and downs with this book, and now I'm preoccupied with it. And naturally, I wouldn't have a great appetite for it, but he's given me this appetite for it. And I'm seeing there's another layer, and it's something you can delve into. I mean, how many of you have hobbies? I mean, hobbies are great things as long as they don't distract you too much, but you really get into it. I mean, I know people I sold my products to, they had a hobby of painting. And then they got serious about it, and then they began to show their painting, and then they began to tell others, and it spreads because of they were being brought into it. And this book lures us into it. Of course, we have an enemy of our soul, and the last thing that enemy wants you to do is to read this book. Anyway, this psalm reveals why we need strength. It reveals how strength comes. It reveals when it comes and from where it comes. And I only have about 10 or 15 minutes. Oh, about an hour, okay. No, it's okay. This is really just pointing you to certain things and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Invariably, when you hear someone speak, this is what happens to me. I do listen to all they say, but there's merely one or two things that I catch. And I realize I need to be alert. The last place we need to plan our holiday is Sunday morning in church. I say that because I spoke to a man last year. We had a wonderful meeting in a great big church. Praise, worship, man came, word of prophecy, man came, so it was wonderful. And I went up to this man after, wow, wasn't that a great meeting? He said, oh yeah, it was great. When that fellow was speaking, he said, I planned my summer holiday. I said, what? Oh yeah, I said, I'd heard it all before. You know. Larry, will you get into the psalm and stop talking? Right. Why we need to be strengthened. Well, you see, although this is a psalm of trust written by David, you know, he says in verse 1, I put my trust, O Lord, in you. He says in verse 5, into your hand I've committed my spirit. Verse 6, I trust in the Lord. Verse 14, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. And you're trusting people. We're trusting him. And although he says that, and it ends on this great verse 24, such were the trials and the pressure, it seems to almost swamp his trust. And if you read the psalm, you can see it's a cry for rescue. Verse 9, my eyes waste away with grief, my soul and my body. 10, my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. Man alive. My strength fails because of my iniquity, my bones waste away, etc., etc. Verse 12, I'm forgotten like a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel, for I hear the slander of many, fear is on any side. So there's a real mixture here. I'm trusting you, but I'm going through this. So when do we need strength? When your trust struggles. When the faith that you once had seems to diminish. This was written by David, old in years, and there was a coup d'etat taking place in his palace by one of his sons who was out to kill him. I know a few problems, but he certainly, that was a big problem. I don't know if any of you are experienced one of your children out to kill you. Or there's a coup d'etat in your world. And he wrote this psalm. So when our trust struggles, here is a psalm. Here is light. Here is a compass. Here is a living word. Here is something that will help us navigate past such as time. Okay, well, I read the psalm now. What? Well, actually, who else read this psalm? Oh, I don't know. Well, it's repeated. Psalm 71 is repeated on it. We know that Jeremiah, he quoted this psalm 6 times. Jonah quoted this psalm. Paul quoted this psalm. Oh, so there's something in it. Yes, but one person quoted this psalm more than anyone else. He quoted this psalm. As he was giving his life for humanity. Verse 5, into your hand I commit my spirit. This is a psalm of the cross. So how does strength come? We've sung about the cross today. There's great mystery in the cross. You can enjoy a great meal and you haven't a clue about the cook or the ingredients. You can enjoy a beautiful song and you may never know a note of music. What I'm saying is, when it comes to the cross, it's amazing. People say, well, I don't understand it. Tell me all about it until I fully understand. No, we flew last night. Everyone fucking on Ryanair, flocking on, sitting down, everything else. No one said, hang on a minute, until I know all the laws of aerodynamics, I'm not taking off here. Or until I interview the pilot, I'm not getting out of here. So when I say to you, brothers and sisters, that strength comes through the cross, through the efficacy of Jesus Christ, you don't have to understand everything about it. You can certainly gather, the Spirit will illuminate you. You believe in it. I believed in the law of aerodynamics. I believed the pilot was okay. And we got here. Okay? This is a psalm of the cross. When we, at the message of the cross, Paul says, it's absurd. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. No one, you know, I think of some of my friends, or when I was in business and I talked about the cross, I said, what are you talking about? It's foolishness to those who are perishing. That word perishing means losing. They're losers. I know that's not a very nice thing to say to people. You're losing. It's observed to you, and this was the way through. I just want to say this thing about the cross, okay? When we believe, receive, and embrace the revelation of the message of the cross, and the message of the cross, Paul reveals this particularly, he who knew no sin died for us and made us righteous in him. Okay? When we receive this, embrace it, we also receive the anointed impartation contained in that message. Lord, I don't understand everything, but I'm going to accept that. It's not just past tense. It says in Revelation that, talking about the book of life, it said, the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. I don't believe it actually meant that he actually was slain there. He's slain at that time in history, AD 33 or whenever, in Palestine. But it was covenanted together in the Godhead, and it was so secure that it was as if it had already happened. Hallelujah. That's the extent of the cross. And we'll still be singing to the Lamb with scars in his hand. We'll still be worshiping. All right? So that's however you want illumination on that, or however it comes to you, that's how strength comes. When do we need it? All the time, you may say. But it says in verse 15, my times are in your hand. Now think of your time now, right now in your life. They're in his hands. Could be good time. Could be a fearful time. It could be a time you're not. Now, I said you may know this. This is help. I found this helpful. And in the Greek, there are 2 words for time. One is chronos time. That is the season, a long period of time. So, the time of conception in those 9 months is chronos, a long time for dear mothers. And that the kairos is the moment, the explicit moment that something happens specifically. A strategic moment. The kairos time is that moment of birth. Chronos, Most of us, we go through Kronos. It's a long time, long season. I'm bearing with this thing. I'm still trusting the Lord. I'm still praying. Nothing seems to happen. And he says, they're in my hands. They're in my hands. There's strength to realize that. If you're going through something today, and you feel, well, I've prayed, I've asked him, I still see, trust him, they're in your hands. Therefore, you actually begin to see what you're passing through in different lights. That's what I experienced, particularly over the last number of months. My times are in his hands. If you think of Abraham, he received a promise that he'd have a son, Charismon, but he spent 24 years until God shifted the time and it occurred. And you may be going through a Kronos time and these things are coming. Hold on. God's time shift will occur. I mean, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and the big thing out there was Warsaw Pact, NATO, Europe, arming themselves to the hilt. We all expected an invasion, Berlin Wall, Europe divided. And there used to be people, I remember they used to come to our house church, and they'd pray for the surfing church behind the Iron Curtain. We'd pray, we'd pray, we'd pray. Guys like Richard Wurmbrand, I don't know if you've remembered him. He visited Dublin, I remember one time, and he was on the television, and the guys were doubting him. Well, how do we believe that that happened to... And he got up on national television, and he took off his shirt, and he showed them all his scars. He said, how do you think I got this? So it was very topical. But I remember we'd have conferences praying for the persecuted church in Eastern Europe, and we'd be praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And we began to wonder, will it ever happen? You know, the strength of the Soviet Union, all these states. And then I remember, because it was coming up to Christmas, 89-90, one by one, Kairos moment had arrived. Berlin Wall came down. Poland, Romania, Czechoslovakia, Hungary. And we all just stood there and said, ah. But there had been prayers for 40 or 50 years. And I don't know why it hadn't happened sooner, but God knows. Our times are in his hands. Be strengthened in that today. He knows. And he knows how much we can bear. And just a minute, I can't bear anymore. Strength will come as we wait upon the Lord. Okay. That's why we need strength. How strength comes. When it comes. From where it comes. Well, the same man, he said, you are the God of my strength. To his friends in Philippi, Paul assured them he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him, and he needed that. Paul and Barnabas went from city to city, strengthening the souls of the disciples. Even Jesus himself, the Son of Man, when he was in Gethsemane, going through that agony time, mentally, emotionally, physically, and he said, Father, I do your will, but if it's possible for this cup to pass from me. And Luke records that an angel appeared from heaven and it says it strengthened him. And whatever the angel ministered, strength was imparted to him and he got up and went. We sing, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Finally, here's something that just came to me recently. The strengthening of God. What does it look like? What are some of the things that happened? Well, hundreds of things, but here's a few. One of the things when you're strengthened by God, it encourages our mind to recall his goodness. Okay? It combats being at the mercy of impulsive thinking. But these are just some things I have found. It took me some of these quite a time between illumination, difficulties, and calling upon the Lord. It counters, strengthening of God counters the tendency to complain. We all do it. Unbelief and complaining negatively affects our lives and the atmosphere of our hearts. Strengthening of the Lord causes us to abide in the vine, to abide in him, where we find the disappointments of life can actually be the hidden benefits of love. Now, it's difficult to avoid the recurring invasion of worry, the cares of life. Sometimes they do come in like a flood, but the Holy Spirit strengthens us from within and assures us that as your days, so shall your strength be. Folks, illumination, strengthening. And Jesus says, if anyone has not, you can ask of me, and he will give it to you. You can do it now when you go home. Like me, I seem to be doing it all the time. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the reality of walking with you, of receiving illumination in dark and shadowy times. And I pray that for anyone here, Lord, who that cloud has persisted, that mist has fallen, that shadow is just encouraging. Lord, even today we pray. What we've sung, what we've heard, pray, Lord, that your illumination will actually come in spite of ourselves, in spite of doubts and fears, that you'll come and pierce the shadow now with your light. And for those of us, Lord, who sometimes feel so weak and inadequate, and whatever we have to do, we just feel, I wasn't really made for this. I don't have the personality for this. Lord, you can strengthen us. You can strengthen us as we continue to trust in you, even through those long chronos times. They're in your hands. And we acknowledge that what you did at Calvary, your death, your resurrection, your ascension, your glorification, and the sending of the Spirit is all that we need to avail of this strength and to walk in it. Amen. That's what I have to say, guys. God bless you. It's been great to be with you.